Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. The best is yet to come. You haven't seen it yet. I mean, really, he has saved the absolute best for last. And we're not even close. We're not even close. So you have, as a matter of fact, everything that's coming is so different from the way it is now. You'll know that later. But you can't know that now because you can't even imagine it. But it's so different. For example, the wicked won't be here anymore. And only the righteous will survive. Why are we righteous? Why are we righteous? It isn't because we kept the law. We never did love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. We never did love our neighbor as ourself, but we actually do it by what?
Faith.
By faith. Because Jesus did it for you and he's your righteousness. So you did it. So you're actually perfect now. That's weird.
Amen.
But it's true. It doesn't make any sense to us because it goes against your brain. Your brain can't believe that God loves you. You can't. You can't even grasp that. But it says it. So we live by faith, which means we just read the word and believe it. That's where faith comes from. Faith cometh by... It just goes in. It's not by... I really, really believe it. It's not. It doesn't come that way. It's lodged in your heart. You don't know how it got there, but you heard the word. You heard the word. Heard the word, and then eventually, yeah, I believe that. Now you didn't remember the moment, the second you believed it. Even if you did, it goes away. So, even if you did believe it, the next minute you'll be back to sin. You'll be back to being ridiculous. So this is by faith. All right. So now I want to give you 10 words today. These 10 words are the words of life. It could be a billion words because every second, every moment, every nanosecond, God is speaking. But he's always saying the same thing. So I'm just going to read you the highlights. Kind of like a summary of the good news. I say it's a summary, but it's not my summary or even God's summary. It's just simply words that actually say that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now I'm going to give that a fuller meaning. You live by every word that is constantly, continually coming out of the mouth of God. Now that doesn't seem like life. But he says, we live by that God is constantly speaking. If he stopped speaking, you wouldn't be here. And so the minute he stops, it's over. It's like, whoa, what happened? He's not speaking. Because all of your faith, hope, love, everything that you have going for you, which is nothing, but everything that you have going for you, which is nothing on your part, it's everything that Jesus did for you. It's everything he did on your behalf. So when someone does something on your behalf, that's really neat, especially since you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. How many know you cannot love your neighbor as yourself? How many know you cannot love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength? You cannot. Not even for a second. Not even for a nanosecond. Nobody ever, 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 ever did that. So I want you to know his law flunked. Because he had a law, but flunked. You all flunked. But Jesus didn't flunk. He actually kept the law. Why? Because the law was written for Jesus. It never, ever, ever was written for you to behave. That should make you relax because you are not capable of paying the debt you owed. you were born in sin. No. You were conceived in sin. The second you were conceived, God wrote on your heart. He wrote with his finger on your heart. And he said, this one's mine. This one's mine. This one's mine. This one's mine. So you don't belong to another God. As a matter of fact, there aren't any.
Amen.
There's only one true and living God. Now, why is it that we're privileged to know that? I don't know. I don't know. But that's exactly how this nation and this state was created, by people that believe that. The first nation in the world, even the Jewish people didn't believe it. There were believers among them, but they were not the majority. David believed God. He did. But he didn't believe it like we believe it, because he didn't even know the whole truth. But he spoke things that were so awesome. And so Jesus was, not Jesus, David. King David was a man after God's own heart. Wow. Why? Because he pursued him. He actually wanted to know him. And then he said these words. Huh. If God should mark iniquities, who could stand? So obviously David iniquitized. I mean, he did iniquity. He sinned. He missed the mark, the law. He never did obey the law. And so how is it that we are privileged? It's because of our ancestors. I mean, I didn't get this by nature. I didn't get this by brain. I didn't get this by anything. I have no idea how I get it. I mean, I can testify, but I really don't. But I'm happy. I'm totally happy. I'm totally happy. Why? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Over. So if you can go beyond that theology, you can't. You can't go beyond that. It's as simple as that. It's so simple. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. You can sing that over and over again, and you'll never get beyond that. No matter how much you strive and try, you cannot be smarter than a 2-year-old.
Amen.
You can't.
Amen.
And so the biggest, smartest, you know, most awesome scholar and genius and so on, they can't get beyond that. They have to get, as Martin Luther said, they have to get down on their hands and knees and pray with their kids every day. That's what Martin Luther did. He prayed with Hans and, you know, his daughter and so on and so forth every day. And he had several kids. But anyway, you're not going to be able to ever be a theologian in the sense that you know everything, because you can't. You don't even know anything. Apart from me, you not only can do any, you can't do anything. You can't even be anything. You don't even exist apart from him. You don't know anything. You have nothing going for you except Jesus is your righteousness. That's powerful. I will preach this till the day I die, not because it works. I'll preach it because he said to. Okay? So, if I die today, that's it. That's it. You've heard all you're going to hear, because I'm just going to repeat it week after week, month after month, minisecond after minisecond. I'm going to repeat it, because it's good news. It's good news. I don't really care and know about anybody else who's a Christian. I don't know their inside, their secrets. But I know I am. And I know it's not because of me. It's totally because of him seeking me out.
Yeah.
Now, I want to give you some words that lead to life eternal. So, these are 10 words. It could do, as I said, millions and billions of trillions. Because every moment you're alive, God's speaking. So, you only exist because he's still talking. And God is not a God that, you know, made us and then let us go like a clock wound up and then suddenly, you know, you run out. You don't ever run out because God will never tire of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now, how many have followed me so far? You kind of understand where I'm going. I want to give you these 10 words. Could make up a lot. But these 10 came to me. So, let's look at the first one. We live by every word which is constantly proceeding out of God's mouth. So, the Bible says, and that's, by the way, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeding constantly, continually. That's present active indicative. The most real in grammar is present active indicative. It's right now. Everything else is subjunctive and, you know, it's got all kinds of, you know, exhortations and so on. But this one is the most real of all language. I am. That's what God talks about himself. I am. So he said, what if they ask me who sent me? Just say, I am. It's like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. I am sent me. But that's actually what the speaker was told. Just say, I am. Why? Because he always is. You isn't. There was a time when you weren't, and there's a time when you could be, and maybe not, but not with God. Because God always has life in himself. And since he's going to marry you, now you are. Not only do you have a new beginning, because he created you new, you have a new beginning that you didn't have naturally. You are now new creation. But you have a new ending. It'll never end. World without end. There's no end to the joy you're going to experience. You don't experience here. We're not talking about here. There's no peace on earth, goodwill toward men here. But it will be. And could be shortly. It could be less than 10 years. It could be that everything is over in less than 10 years because the bad guys will get up and do their thing. And then Jesus will come back and you're a new creation. You always are a new creation by faith. And the only reason we teach the three chairs is it's a process. That's all. But you live by every word. So if this were the first word here, this one, and this were the second word here, this one, then there's going to be a third one, this one. Okay. So that's the perfect man. You believed, you're a disciple, and now you're a lover. You believed, you're a disciple, and now you're a lover. Oh, that's it. That's it. He just perfected you. How did you do it? You didn't. He did it, and you read it in the book, and then something popped into your being, and you knew, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. How did it come? By hearing. And so you can read it yourself, or somebody else could read it, or I can preach it like right now, but it doesn't make any difference. It's not yours until it's yours. So you can hear it for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And it doesn't appear to accomplish anything. I'm going to preach it anyway. I don't really care. I'm not a pragmatist. I don't do it because it works. I do it because Jesus said so. I read it in the book. I just read it in the book. So I just do what I read. I have no language except the language of heaven. I mean, I have language. I don't believe in it, though. I don't trust it. I don't care about, hi, how are you? I don't care about that. Because I'm always perfect. If you ever ask me that question, how you doing? I'd always say perfect.
Amen.
Which blows everybody away. Because I am. Why? Because he am. If he am married me, then I am what he am. Now, mine's derivative. His is in himself. The Father has life in himself. The Son has life in himself. And the Holy Spirit has life in himself. Because they're God. And so, nobody knows that secret except us. And nobody's paying attention to us. Did you ever notice that? The only thing they'll pay attention to is this one. This is your deeds. This one is what you do. They don't care about your heart. They don't even see it. They don't care about your soul because they don't see that. The only thing they see is your behavior. Now, because you could be a hypocrite, they wouldn't know the difference between you behaving like you think a Christian should behave and then the work of the Holy Spirit. You would not know the difference, and people don't. The churches are full of lukewarm Christians who have one foot in heaven and one foot in earth. And they still want life in themselves. They want their marriage to work. They want, you know, get a new job or live in another house or whatever. That has nothing to do with anything.
Amen.
There's only this. So this is the truth that will set you free. This truth sets you free. So I'm really, really important in God's sight. Why? I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
I'm not making it up. I don't get paid for it. I mean, it's not for pay. It's just because God said, do it. This is, so I'm happy. I'm happy all the time because I'm doing what God said. Does everybody get it? Of course not. Do you count? I don't. I have no idea who's not getting it and who's getting it. I'm just going to keep preaching till the day I die. Then I'll stop. The minute I die, I'll stop. So you don't have to hear me anymore. It's like he just repeated himself every Sunday, every weekday, because I preach I teach all the time. But, you know, that's the only language I know is the language of heaven. I like it. So I'm building my life on heaven. Does it pay? I don't really care. I don't care that it pays. I just believe all those words. Whatever it says, I believe it. I don't even have to read them. I believe it ahead of time. I just believe everything he said, and he's been right so many times, I believe the whole thing without even reading it. I can read it, and every time I read it, it's different than the last time I read it. In other words, you can learn constantly about the love of God, because God is love. He's love. He's love. He loves me. And I'm not really interested in if he loves anybody else, but I know he said he does. I'm really not interested in that because I don't know how to judge their heart. So I don't know if they're a hypocrite or a liar or, you know, secret sins. And I don't even know about all that. I don't even know my own self. But he says I'm a sinner, so I believe I am.
Amen.
I don't even know what that meant, but whatever it is, it's bad. It sounds like don't be a sinner. So I'm not. How is it I'm not? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, that's it. So I solved my situation because I was not able to be perfect. Is there anyone here that is perfect?
Amen.
Hey, Alex, are you going to raise your hand? No. Okay. I was going to.
I thought you were going to say sitter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's good. Because I was going to have to excoriate you if you said that. No. So everybody here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, he created you to do something and you didn't. He created you to do something and you didn't. And no one ever has. All have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if all have, I think I'm included in all. But now that I'm a saint, it doesn't bother me because I'm a saint. How did I become a saint? I read it. I just read it. To the saints at Jerusalem or wherever they are. I'm one of those. Why? I believe it. And I'm happy all the time. You can't make me unhappy. You can sin against me all you want. It doesn't make me unhappy. I'll still pray for you. I'll still bless you. I'll still love you. Period. That's the way it is. I mean, I'm fixed. Why? I read it in the book. So that's the secret to your life? Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. So I don't really care about anything else. Everything's going my way because God's good.
Amen.
And he likes me. So I share in all of his stuff. I don't have to have my stuff because he has his own stuff. He not only does his part, he does my part too.
Amen.
Remember in Abraham, they were doing the covenant, the Old Testament covenant, the eternal covenant. And Abraham, he had to cut up the bull. He's got to get that thing cut up. He was all tired out. Then the birds smelled that blood of that bull. And then he came down. He had to beat him off. And by the time God got there, he was snoring. He fell asleep. And this was the covenant that God made with him. And God did it. He didn't even did it. He did nothing. That's what he added. So I don't think that was a good work. He just was tuckered out. So he didn't add anything to the covenant. God did his side and his side. Do you understand what I've just said?
Yeah.
Now, there's someone in between us. And that someone in between us is the mediator, the in-between man, the middle man. There's someone in between, which is Jesus Christ. And Abraham saw his day. Abraham saw his day. Jesus said that. John, what? 8, what? 56. John 8:56 says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced exceedingly. That's powerful. I'm the son of Abraham. I am. I'm a son of Abraham. Are y'all sons?
Yeah.
Male, female. Y'all sons of Abraham? Yeah. You're the children. Forget the words. Just you're the children. You're related to him. Because he had faith, you have faith. Well, how'd you get it? Comes by hearing. That's all. So you see how... So this is so simple. It's almost like Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. So don't keep laboring and burdening yourself. I love you. So don't worry about that. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll just give it to you. Because I can see you're tuckered out. I can see you're burdened down. I can see you're stressed. I can see you're troubled. I can see that you're worried about this and worried about that and so on. I don't want that. I want you to just come to me. I'll give you rest. You don't have to experience it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. Just take it. So I have that. I have that, Karen. I totally have that.
Take it. No, you do.
I'm just enjoying it. And I have no clue. I have no clue how he knew that I was a sinner. I don't even know that. And then he said, I'm a saint. I didn't know that either. But I am a saint. Are you a saint? Yeah, just say yes. It doesn't matter. Lying doesn't matter to God. I am a saint.
I think.
So, since you are, this is good news. Since you're all saints, why? By faith. Why? There's no other way.
Amen.
There isn't any other way. Try to be perfect on your own. Doesn't work. Just try. I mean, give it your best shot. You know, do everything to the hilt. Do it. You can't. You can't even overcome one sin. Now, we do sin. The Bible says so. So we do sin. And because you sin, God shouldn't like you because he doesn't sin. He always hits the mark. He always, right down the, right in the target. He just hits that center just every single time. So he shouldn't like us, but he says he does in the book. So I wish he hadn't written that because it doesn't match my life. My life is I miss the mark all the time. But I don't even know about it, and I don't even care about it, really, tell the truth. But I miss the mark all the time, and he said, no, you're a saint now because you believe in me. Okay. It's just as simple as all that. It's like telling a little child, your father and I love you, or your mother and I love you. That's all. It's just simple. I mean, they don't question it because you haven't let them down yet, especially if they're only 1 and a half. You haven't let them down yet, because they some little kids actually do experience roughness, but it doesn't matter. Did you know that people treating you rough has no memory? I mean, you can remember it, but you can't feel again what you felt then. So it doesn't have any memory. So people can treat you rough and you can forgive them. You are not prevented from forgiving them. So how many here had a perfect childhood? Nobody. So, I mean, even if you thought you were the queen or the princess or whatever you were, you weren't. God uses sinful people to raise children who will be sinful, who raise children who will be sinful. So it's just like that. So God has a solution. I'll send Jesus down 4,000 years into the world, and he'll correct all that. He'll live that. As a matter of fact, even before the foundation of the world, I already laid him down. God laid Jesus down before there was an earth, before there was heavens and earth, before there wasn't anything. They speak today about, you know, the world coming to an end, but it won't end until we have a new beginning. It's not going to end. You will actually see, I hope some of you see it with your own eyes, the end come when there's only good guys left. There won't be any bad guys. You'll be perfect. Because the minute he comes back, he has his reward with him. His reward is with him. So when he comes, he is not just talking promises. He's fulfilling it and saying, you're a saint. You're perfect. And then a trumpet sounds, and then you'll get your new body and your new soul to match your new spirit. You already have the new spirit, but you don't have a new soul. You don't have a new body. You're now saved, being saved, and will be saved. You definitely don't have your new body. How can I tell? How can I tell? Because you can't ride on clouds. That's how I can tell. Because in your new body, you actually raise up and are ruling from the heavens. And you're sitting on clouds. You saw Jesus, when he ascended on clouds. And the two angels that were sitting there said, what you guys doing? Well, we're looking at him going up. You know, he's kind of slow, but he's going up. Well, it'll take him a while. But the same way you saw him go, the same way he'll come back. So he'll be riding on clouds when he comes back. We have songs about that, but they're neat songs. Because they're the truth. But only I believe they're the truth. If you don't believe, I can't make you. I can only tell you the truth that I believe. But I can't make you believe what I believe. I don't have any power. I don't even have any knowledge. I don't know how it works, really. I just know it comes by hearing. So when you hear that you are beloved of God, just like a little kid, you just believe it. You just believe it. Now, if you have a lot of experiences, you might not. Lots of people are abused. Lots of people are misused and so on and so forth. But, too bad. This trumps everything. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Amen.
The word actually is rejoice or exult. But it is a triumph. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. So you never die again. You can only die once, biologically. But you can't die twice. The second death. You'll never, ever, ever, ever experience that. So, born once, you die once. But if you're born twice, then it's over. But the new birth is you believe by faith. It has nothing to do. You're not believing that you're good. You're believing that God is good. You're believing that you're a sinner. And you have no goodness in you. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing, 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 nothing. So since you can't do anything, how can you do anything? You can't. In other words, he's not talking about thing, because you can build bridges and, you know, write your name and so on. We're not talking about that. He's talking about pleasing God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He counts everything that you do for him as thing. But everything else is nothing. No thing. So whatever you do in this world, it's going to pass away. This world will be gone in a little while. So this is the first verse that I want you to read. I want you to read it because I don't think people believe this. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread. You're not an animal. Man is not an animal. Dewey Decimal System, he's wrong. All people that say that man is an animal is a lie. You are unique. No one else was created in the image and likeness of God. Betzalemnu kedemutnu. No one else is created like that. You are neat. You are not like an animal. Well, they have legs and arms. So do we. Yeah, I know. That's just morphological. So, you can do things. You could be like this and say you're a windmill, but you're not. So just morphological similarities are not the same. You are created in the image, and nothing else is. And likeness of God, you can be just like him, even though you never have. Even though you never have. And nobody here ever has and never will. Even if you're a Christian today, even if you're a born-again believer, even if you're spirit-filled, even if, you know, all that kind of stuff, you still do not have life in yourself. You only have life because you're related to Jesus, who gives you his life. So he gives you eternal life. No one else can give you eternal life except the eternal God. So he's actually given you eternal life, and you didn't do anything. You just simply believed it.
Amen.
Is everybody following me so far?
Yes.
So this gift of God, this incredible gift of God, to give you everything, not only in heaven someday, on earth today. I already have it. I just don't see it. I just don't experience it. I don't see it in y'all, and you don't see it in me. And so I don't want to, because he said, you won't see it until later. So the best is yet to come. Who for the joy that set before him? He endured the cross, despising the shame. So he was never worried about anything. Okay, so that's the first word. How many know that you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God?
Amen.
So, I'm going to give you 9 more words. I just gave you the first one, because he said that in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Constantly is coming out of the mouth of God, continually. Never stopping. Next word. Your nature. How did you get your nature? Not aset Adam. Let us create man. Let us make man. In our image. Be is in. And image is tselem. And nu means our. So, let us make man in our image. And then it says, according to his capacity. He doesn't have any capacity, but I'm going to give him this capacity. You have this capacity, though you've never used it. You have this capacity to be like God. And as a matter of fact, as Christians, you are like God right now. You are like God, even though it's not perfect. It's not perfect because you only have your new heart, but you don't have a new soul and body. So therefore, you're still dependent on faith. But faith will be active in love. When men see love, that number 6 chair, when they see the love, they know. When men see your good works, they will give glory to not you. They don't give any glory to you. Because they know, what I saw in you was I heard God. I saw God. I heard God. I saw God. Your words, your deeds, that made me see God. And I give glory to your Father, which art in heaven.
Amen.
So when you are fully ready for Jesus to come back, you'll be mature. Perfect love. You'll have perfect love. Why? Because you'll be in chair 6. Because you'll be ready. Actually, chair 7 is when you're ready, ready, ready. I mean, really ready. And what is that? Not when you're perfect, that you're perfect by faith. You're just perfect by faith. Why? Because you got that the day you're born. The minute you're born, you already inherit. You already have a heart that believes in God. It takes 1 second. Soon as somebody preaches the sermon, you can just come up from the back and just get saved. Just like that. You just, it's right there. You didn't have to do anything. And you're already a child of God. You're already going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're already going to have everything that God wanted you to have. So just when the child is born, you're already in that family. Now we're in the family of God. So this is the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Free. Everything's free. Everything's free. Well, it's not free for Jesus. He had to suffer and die. But that was a piece of cake for him. He actually said that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. He wanted you, the night he was betrayed, he wanted you to know, I still have my joy. Mm-hmm. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. This is for Jim. This is for Alice. This is for, Suzanne, whatever. So he did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't go so he'd go to heaven. He already was in heaven. He was still Son of God and Son of Man. So this one says, the way you were created, you now are created actually to worship God, which we do right now. Did you know how your worship is acceptable to God? By faith in his blood, which not only forgives my sin, it also cleanses me from all sin. From all sin. From all sin means all sin. I mean, all sin means all sin. Now, he does the first, forgives you, but you still have your sin. So he forgives you. How many still sin? Even though you're a Christian, you still sin. Okay, so he forgives you. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about behavior. Don't worry about behavior. Everyone wants to worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it because Jesus said, the good work I began in you, I'll surely complete. Amen. I will. I mean, if I began a work in you, I'll complete it. Wow, that's pretty neat. So you just got to be born, regenerated, part of the family. Woohoo! Wow, that's incredible. So you're now part of the family of God, and no one can snatch you out of God's hand.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? They can't. They can't. You can jump out, but he won't kick you out. Because you believe. And so because you believe that, he counts that as righteousness. So I now believe that God loves me. I now believe that God has a future for me. I now believe that I have the capacity, the ability to worship God and love my neighbor as myself. And I could, if I did that, I would create peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, I'm just doing it individually right now, but someday we'll do it as the church. When the church is purified, today he's not doing that. Today what he's doing is saying to his beloved, which is us, he's saying to his beloved, come out from the midst of her, my people. Just get away, because I'm about to judge her, but I can't judge the whore of Babylon because you're still part of her. So just pull away. And be there. Then when I judge him, you'll realize, oh, that was God. That was God did that. Why? Because he knew that not one of them would convert and be saved. Anyone who's part of the whore is not someone that God has chastened. Because maybe he chastened you, but later you're part of the second resurrection. It doesn't say that in the Bible. But it suggests that. If there's a first, there's going to be a second. In other words, there'll be more. But anyway, but the first is different than the second. Blessed are those, happy are those that are part of the first resurrection. You're the first fruits of Jesus' first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits because he rose from the dead. But you're the first fruits of the first fruits. So you and I will be have special treatment that you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen to other people. But don't worry about it. And maybe as you're praying and, ascending into heaven on your cloud, maybe you're praying for the wicked that you left behind that were relatives of yours or friends of yours or even enemies of yours. How many of it says in the Bible that you should pray and love your enemies? It says that. It actually says that. That's a sign that you're a Christian. That's a sign that you're chair six, for sure, because you love even your enemies. You pray for even your enemies. You're blessing even your enemies. I mean, you're wanting the best for them because that's the neighbor. Your neighbor may be a nasty neighbor. It doesn't make any difference. So I said, pray for them. It doesn't say, rebuke them and deliver us from, you know, so-and-so. It doesn't say that. So, therefore, I did pray, and do pray, for Obama and Hillary, even before she was president, because I assumed she would make it. I was praying for her. I didn't want anything bad to happen to her. So I was praying for her. But she lost. She did. And I was happy. I didn't know I was happy till that moment came. And I realized, wow, I'm really happy that don't answer that prayer. Because I don't want anything bad to happen to her because she's an enemy. So what? That just means she's psychologically mixed up. She doesn't have life in herself. She doesn't have a relationship. And maybe she does, because I can't judge her heart. So I don't know. Since I don't know, I'm just praying for everybody. I pray for their secret sins, not only their obvious sins. I pray for secret sins. So this is another word you have, is he created you with the ability to worship God, which we do now. You already do now from the heart, from the heart, from the heart. Not from your soul, not from your body. You'll get those later. But from the heart, right now, until he comes back and the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, you get your new body, your new soul. Woohoo! Then it's over. Then you know it's over. It's solid. So, can you be happy today, not yet seeing it? Mm-hmm. You can. I am. I'm totally happy. You can't catch me off guard and say, Jim, you look miserable today. I may look it, but I'm not. I'm happy. Happy. So, sin, your sin doesn't bother me. Your sin doesn't bother me. Because I know all, even Christians sin. I know that. And I sin too. I hope you forgive me before I sin again. You know, sin. Pastor, I forgive you even before you sin. That's pretty powerful. Because that showed that God was in your heart. That's powerful. If you pray for that. Amen? So, that's what I say to everybody I meet. You know, I don't care what you do. Going to turn that air on? No, you won't be hot.
What was the verse?
Which one?
The second one.
Oh, Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Thank you. So Matthew 4:4, first one. Second one, Genesis 1:26. Third one. You remember that in Genesis, this is one another Genesis 22:8. This one is Abraham talking to his son on the way to Mount Moriah. On the way there. And he said, my son, God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. Wow. That's the third word. You live by that. Now, that's different than keeping his law, the first one. Now he made you so that you are able to worship God and you are able to love your neighbor as yourself. But everybody sinned. Everybody sinned. Everybody's Adam and Eve sinned. And they just, I don't know why everybody repeats them. I don't know why what Adam and Eve did affects me, but I was a sinner just like them. And if you think to yourself, I won't be a sinner. You've just deceived yourself. But anyway, I'll have that word coming up later. For right now, he introduced this early on before there was, you know, real historical stuff going on, although it had already gone on for 2,000 years. But before that, people just kind of lived by their conscience. So the minute he created you, Betzalem Nukedemutnu, the minute he created you, you already have a conscience. And he wrote that on your heart. This one's mine. This one's mine. No emperor can be between me and this one. This me, direct, direct. He has a direct connection to everybody here. So that's your conscience. And when you do wrong, something like tilts on the thing. Tilt, tilt, you know, whoa, something's wrong. So I always use this illustration, but it's perfect. I like it. If you bite my arm, I know that's wrong. So everybody knows that. If I bite your arm, I don't know that's wrong because I had a reason. I came up with reasons. I justified it. Well, you deserved it. Or whatever. And so me biting you is totally different than you biting me. I know, but when you bite me, I know that's wrong. So everybody knows right and wrong. Everybody has a conscience. And when you lie, it's written. It's on the synapses of your brain. There's no way you can erase that. It's indelible. And the words that you say are go out for eons into space, whatever. They're collected by God. He knows everything you said, thought, and so on and so forth. So you can't hide. When God judges you, he'll judge you in equity and realize, you know, you were not perfect. Okay, but here's another way, a different way. God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. In other words, God himself means God doesn't want you to pay for your sins. He wants to pay for your sins. He's the offended one. He's the one that we have enmity toward because he put that silly law on me to make me behave. I don't want to behave. Do you ever notice that about little kids? Little kids will sooner or later rebel. I don't care what kid it is, they'll sooner or later rebel. They just will. They just will. No. You go to bed right now or I'm going to spank you. No. You ever seen a little kid that say, okay, I'll do it, mommy? Well, yeah, they can say that when they're younger, but they learn right away. I don't want to do it this time. I love it that they have a personality. Their personal development is, I want to decide against God's will. I want to decide against my parents' will for me. I don't want to do that. I love that. I love that with my kids. Every one of my kids, four of them, every one of them rebelled. And I love that. I look forward to that. I can hardly wait till that happens because I love it when they are a person with their own will, not mine. Hey, you didn't do what I said. You want a spanking? They won't say. They don't want a spanking. They know that. That's bad. But they know they did wrong. But they won't pick up the soup or whatever they spilled or whatever. They're not going to do it. Because the little kids are rebellious. Where are your kids? I like to use them as illustrations. Keep your kids coming here. The only one I have is right there in the back, you know. You still get spankings, don't you? No. That's because you're taking care of your sister. You're mature now. You're not a little kid anymore. So everybody needs to know that everybody sins. All have sinned and fallen short. Glory of God. Okay. So the next word is this one. God himself will provide the lamb. Genesis 22:8. Fourth one. The moral law of Moses. Remember that? The moral law, because it is a moral law. It just says behave yourself. The law of Moses is not anything different than anybody have by their conscience. I know I should do right, and I feel guilty about it, or I don't feel guilty about it. So what? It doesn't make any difference. You're all in the same boat because you weren't perfect. And so everybody, even if they don't feel guilty about it, is guilty. So whether you feel it or not, you are because you didn't do what God said. So he gave the moral law. How many know that under the law, no one has ever kept anything and perfected themselves under a law? That's in the 7th chapter of Hebrews. It says, under the law, no one is perfected. So, laws don't perfect people. They just tell you what to do, but they don't help you. They don't even forgive you. It's just the law. So, if she commits adultery, stone her. Well, there's no mercy there. And the Muslims still practice that now. Isn't that amazing? They read it literally. And so it's all silly. But anyway, another one. So that's the law. And of course, you know that the spirit of the law is different than the letter of the law. That's called white fire. White fire is the white on your page. If you have a Bible, there's white on your page. There's more white than there is black. So the spirit of the law is greater than the letter of the law. The letter of the law killeth, the spirit of the law gives life. So what is the spirit of the law? Well, that's reading the law not as a law, but as a promise. And I always do. I always read everything in the Old Testament as a promise. So whatever was there, Jesus then fulfilled that for me, so I don't have to worry about that. Whatever was there, even if I disobeyed, Jesus covered that. Wow. Praise God. Woohoo! That's too powerful. Because I shouldn't be getting away with murder, but I am. I shouldn't be able to sin like that and God doesn't punish me. But I am. Why? Because of the faith of Abraham, God himself will provide. He's going to pay your debt. Good Jesus. Yeah, you die instead of me. I like it. That's the way I grew up that way. I grew up, if my sister, did wrong, and even if she didn't, and she got the spanking rather than me, because maybe it was my fault, but she got the spanking, I would go in the other room and laugh. Yes! I think that was so funny. Then when I got it, she would laugh. So it was kind of like I taught her that, I guess. But because I didn't get it, even though I did wrong, the other person got it. And Mom actually did that when, how old were you? When you said, I'm not going to lie about
it. When I betrayed my friend, you were talking about that?
Yeah. Yeah, the friend that you both talked in class, but one of you remembered and so on, and you said she did it.
We were out on the playground.
Yeah.
And the teacher said, stop talking.
On the playground?
Yeah. Well, we were in line getting ready to go inside.
Oh, I see.
And she said, stop talking. And I said, it wasn't. I didn't talk, she talked.
Right. So, you see, Peggy has to go to hell because of that. She does. She has to go to hell. If the law is literal. The law is literal. But I would read that as a promise. I would read that as a promise. I change everything into a promise. Because God likes you. God likes you. God loves you. God loves you. God sent his son to die for you. Blah, blah, blah. Next verse. 4, whatever the number is. And I will be gracious to whomsoever I will be pleased to be gracious to. Chanan. And I will show mercy to one I choose to show mercy, chesed. Those two words, chanan and chesed, means one is God's gracious and you have nothing to do with that. If God just wants to be gracious to any sinner, any sinner who breaks the law. So wow, this corrects the law from being the spirit of the law, because God says, if I want to, I can forgive everybody. Or anybody. I reserve that right. I reserve that right to have that power. I claim that power as my royal prerogative right. Anytime I want to, I can forgive a sinner.
Wow.
Wow, that's good news for me. Because I was under the law, now I'm not. Yay!
Yay!
Yay. Oh, it's like the teacher that somehow said, If one of you gets an A, everyone doesn't have to take the test. Or, whatever. They give you a reward or something like that. Yay! We don't have to take the test. Because someone is bound to be a hard worker or something like that. I love it. So God's gracious to us.
What is the scripture there?
That one is Exodus 33:19. Exodus 33:19.
Yes.
What's number 4?
Well, the one before that I read, whatever number that one was, that one was in Exodus, the 20th chapter. It gives the Ten Commandments. So you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. All. Wow, that's a lot to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And second one's like to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Same way you love yourself, trying to preserve yourself, take care of yourself. Love the neighbor that way. So as you would have men do unto you, do unto them. Right? Well, no one has ever done those things. No one has ever done those things. They pretend like they do those, but nobody's ever pleased God under the law. So it's good that they have the spirit of the law. The next one. Comfort yourselves. Comfort yourselves. Nacham, nacham. And that's in the middle voice. That means not only be comforted, it's this one. Comfort yourself. That's the middle voice. The middle voice is it's reflexive back on the one that is comforted. But you weren't is comforted like passive or active, don't comfort or whatever. But you're reflexive that you say, comfort yourself. Tell Israel, comfort yourself. The warfare is over. The battle's been won. Everything has been accomplished. Now, this is 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet says, tell Israel, I'm not mad at them. There's no enmity between you and me. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There's no enmity. I'm prophesying a promise. I'm giving you a promise right now. Tell her that her warfare is over. Because you're paying the double for all her sins. The double is that piece of paper that's folded over. So it's doubled over. And it says, here's the crime, and here the wages of sin is death. So this is a death warrant. You're going to die because you did this. Well, he just folds that over and say, I already died. Even though Jesus yet hasn't even come on the earth. It's a promise. Wow, so I'm taking all the bad news and I'm making it all good news. Even though there's a law, he gives mercy. Even though there's a law, he gives favor. Even though there's a law, don't worry about it. Because you can't do it, couldn't do it, never will do it. The only way you make it is Jesus did it for you. I love that. I love that. I love that no matter what sin I've done toward you, what sin you've done for me, I forgive yours and I also hope you forgive me, but I don't really care if you do, because God has already forgiven me.
Amen.
So, yahoo! Sometimes I'll sin, and Peggy said, well, you need to say you're sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, say it more sincere. No. You're going to go to hell if you don't forgive me, because you have to. That's joking. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So, in other words, okay, I'll say this. Okay, Piggy, I forgive you for not forgiving me. Do you see that? Kind of clever. Kind of clever of me to figure that out. So, okay, I'm going to stay innocent. God, I'll forgive you even though you don't forgive me. And you're going to go to hell because of that. You don't want to be married to me. Only Peggy could stand me. She's miraculous. Perfect wife.
Yes, absolutely.
Do I have the perfect wife? Perfect.
Perfect.
I don't want her to improve. I don't want her to shape up. I don't want her to do anything. I love her just the way she is.
Amen.
I don't want her to, and I don't want the church to. I don't want anyone to do anything I say. Just do it. If God speaks to you, do it. If he doesn't, don't do it. I don't care.
Amen.
Why? I'm happy. I'm totally happy. Why? God. Another word for life. This is all leading to eternal life. That was Isaiah 40, 1 and 2. Isaiah 40, 1 and 2. And by the way, this is 6. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. First that was applied to John 3, 1 and 2. And then it was applied to Jesus 4, 17. Same words. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does repent mean? What does it mean? It doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean at all what you think it means. It's opposite to what you think it means. Repent means stop sinning and start doing what's right. It doesn't mean that at all. It means the opposite. Comfort yourself. God has already paid. It's all been paid for. You're forgiven. So you've never sinned in God's sight because he sent Jesus. And you believe in him, so he counts that as righteousness. That is amazing, because I sinned all over the place. I just sinned. I can't believe God would let me off the hook. Say, oh, you're hooked. Get off. So, I like God. He's nice to me. He's really nice. He likes me so much. He wants to marry me, actually. Yahoo! I've never married another man, but I'm going to do it. But that's okay. He calls you sons of God, so we're kind of even. So don't worry about God. The whole thing of the Bible, it's all good news. Everything is good news. Everything is good news. Whatever he told you to do, don't do it. Whatever he told you to do, he'll do it for you. Praise God. That's too wonderful. So when people judge me, I don't judge them for judging me. I just say, judge away. Do what if you want to stab me, whatever you want to do. I'm not really worried about it. Why? Jesus. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Do you see how you get out of everything with a Christian? You're set free.
Amen.
You see, his word sets you free.
Amen.
The truth will set you free. If the Son will set you free, you shall be free indeed. You'll be free. Well, amen. I'm free. I had a master that abused me, but now I'm marrying Jesus. He doesn't want to abuse me. He wants to just bless me. I like the blessing guy rather than the cursing guy. I don't know why. I want someone that loves me just as I am without one plea. Just as I am without one plea. I like that song when I was young. I was not a Christian. But I like that song. Just as I am without one plea. I guess they sang it a lot. But whatever. I like that. Because that seemed like me. It's like I didn't have a plea. I didn't have any bargaining chip. I didn't have anything to, you know, make him change his mind about me. Because everything I did was deliberate. Everything I did was conscious. Everything I did. I cannot remember ever doing a thing accidentally. Whatever I did, it was calculated, nasty, and totally selfish. So why would God love me? I don't know. I guess he knew I'd be a pastor someday. So nobody here can out-sin me. There's nobody. No. You know what? I make a good pastor because I know all about sin. No. And I know when you're lying. Because I had all those lies. You see, Paul, he said he was the greatest sinner. How did he do that? Because he was under the law. He was under the yoke of bondage. And wow, when he got set free, he got set free. He had to go away 3 years into the Saudi desert, right at the place where they gave the law. He had to go there and think that thing out. Huh. God merciful towards sinners? I thought he hated them. I thought he was against them. Oh, no. He wasn't. He had to think that thing through. Because he asked Jesus, who was talking to him, what's your name? Who are you? Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Oh. I thought I hated you. I've been putting all your people in prison and, you know, wanting bad to happen to them. So he had to think that thing through in order to write all the Gospels, all the, you know, epistles, his letters. Next verse. 7 was, which one?
Repent.
Repent? I did that already. 3:1-2 for Matthew. That was for John the Baptist, and then 4:17.
Oh, great.
One is for 6 months of John the Baptist, and the other is 3 years of Jesus. But they said the same words. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent means comfort yourself. But 7 or 8, whatever number you have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek, I'll give them to you. I'll just give them to you. Did you see that? If you just seek God and his righteousness.
Amen.
What is it? His righteousness is yours. Ah, that's good news. Hey, I don't like my righteousness because I don't have any. I like his righteousness because he's perfect. Wow, I like that one. So you're perfect now. Why? Jesus did it. He did it for me. He did it for me. So I'm perfect. I can say that to myself. You are a perfect saint.
Amen.
You, Jim, you are awesome. Look again at the mirror and don't forget what you look like. Okay, you're perfect. So everything's perfect about me. Why? Jesus. Because the good work he began, he'll surely complete it. Well, so, okay. It's okay with me. Do you see how this is good news?
Yeah.
Can you see how no one believes what I'm just saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see this is not going to build a big church. If I would preach the law, everyone would be here. Hey, don't you sin, you're going to hell, and so on. Then you'd have everybody nervous about that. But I don't preach that. I preach the good news, and nobody is interested except some people. Few people. I should have 5,000, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, 2 million. I should have people listening. This is good news. I like this. I like this thing. This is so cool. Because the Reformation was all about Luther's understanding of God, that he was a loving father, not an angry judge. That was the. It's not about faith alone and all that kind of stuff. It's really all about a new picture of God as a loving father. He's never been an angry judge.
No.
Oh, I hope they sin today so I can send them to hell. He's never been like that. He wakes up in the morning and says, oh, Jim, my beloved, he's just about to wake up. Angels, look at this. Jim's about to wake. What did we cook up for him last night? Oh, I want everything to go his way. Oh, yeah. That, give that. Say that to him. So I'm loved.
Amen.
Man, to be loved by God, it's awesome.
Amen.
Because he sent his own son to die for me. Yeah. Now that I believe in him, I'm a saint. Next verse. That was Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Next one. 8, whatever your number is, 9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed on him should not perish, but he should have eternal life. That's faith right there. That's the Abrahamic faith thing. Yay! Yay!
Amen.
I'm so excited about that.
Amen.
Everything's going my way. Nobody can do anything against me because God's protecting me. Hey, get away from Jim. He's one of my beloved. I love that. He's just protecting me. Oh, no, don't hurt him. That's my Jim. He sends me out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. And he said, Jim, just go forth. I'm scared. Don't be scared. I'm with you. I'll be with you. I'm your shepherd. Okay. If you go with me, yeah, I'll go. I'll be behind you, in front of you, around you, on top of you, bottom of you, whatever. Don't worry about it. When the wolves see me, they'll flee. How many know that you can resist the devil easily? Submit yourselves unto the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He flees. He's scared of me. I'm a zero, a nothing. But he's scared of me. Why? Because he knows I hate Jim being happy like that. People hate people that are happy. Did you know that? It bothers people that you're happy. After what you just did, you're happy? If that happened to me, I'd be griping and complaining. But I don't gripe and complain. I'm never unhappy. Why? Jesus loves me. This I know. Next verse. So did I give you the scripture for that? John 3:16. The next one, 9, 10, whatever one. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth. Jesus is the truth. John 4:24. So, that's another word, and there's eternal life in that word. Now, this is the last one, 10 or 11, whatever you have. If we confess our sins, if we confess, if we confess. So the word here, the operative word here in this whole sentence, is not what he does. It's what you do. If you confess your sins. Well, what's that? Homologeo. Homologeo. That means say the same thing God says. Homo is same. And then logeo is say. So say what God says. You're a sinner. Agree with him. Okay, I'm a sinner. But I forgive you. Okay. Yahoo. So my sin, what will that mean? You'll get my inheritance. I'll marry you and I'll perfect you. And don't worry about it. I'll give you everything I've got. Wow. Wow. Well, I mean, how rich are you? He's got everything. I'm going to know everything is his way. And he always gets his way. And he always gets his way. So I believe my future is taken care of. I haven't yet married him. I'm betrothed to him, but I haven't yet married him because I don't have all my stuff yet. But he said he'd finish it, so I believe his promise. So when I get married to him, happy is the man that is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I'll be happy. And I'm already happy today, and I haven't even seen it. I just believe. I believe his promise. So this is neat. So this is what? If we confess our sin, homologeo, say the same thing God says about your sin. It's not just talking about profess it. It's talking about confess. He said something, you're a sinner. Then I say something, I'm a sinner. Or he said another word, you're a saint. I'm going to say, I'm a saint. So whatever he says, I agree with. If he says you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. If he says you're a saint, I'm a saint. And saints conquer the sin. Because this is true, mercy triumphs, exalts itself, is rejoicing, is free over judgment. He can't judge me. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that were in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wahoo! Yahoo! Thanks, Jesus. Say it again. Last verse. Here's the two things he'll do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. So that's chair 4. And to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Did I read that right? No, I didn't. I didn't. I left off one word. All. It says he's not only forgiving you and then you still have your sins, but now he says, and, conjunctive, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wow. Do it, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Then when I meet him, I'll be righteous. I don't look like it. I don't act like it. But I am. Why? Because by faith. I believe he'll perfect that. So I'm already perfect. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Dan, that's good news. That's real good news because you didn't do anything. But he loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. You can't make him love you. He does. He just loves you.
Yeah.
Why? So there are your words for life. Eternal life comes from what I just shared. There's a billion. Everything in the Bible says the same thing. I just thought you'd appreciate having some words. Did I give you the scripture for that? That was, what is it?
1 John.
Did I give you that?
That's 1 John.
Yeah, it's 1 John.
That's our sins. He's faithful and just.
Yeah, it's 7 and 8. And so 1:9. Yeah, 9. And by the way, there are 5 conditions to it. If. This one is the middle one. This is the middle one. So there's 2 ifs, and then this one is the third. Maybe this is the fourth one. Doesn't matter. But they're all things that if you say you have no sin, you do. If you say blah, blah. But if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive it. And then to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wow, then I don't have any. I don't have any righteousness because he's working that out. I love that. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
I hope you were blessed by this simple, simple message about all the scriptures that change every law into a gospel. Change everything that's against you into something for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus.
God is for you. Who can be against you?